Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in my partner at SpartanTailgate.com and all of the website content that you'll find there. Dan Kilbridge joins us. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Pretty good, Jack. Big week.
Well, we may have a chance to talk to Paul Bunyan a little bit later this week. We don't know, before he heads on to Ann Arbor, and they put him in a truck, and I guess he leaves Thursday night.
Right. You know, always good to check up on good old Paul before the game starts, and, you know, could be the last time we see him for a year. You never know.
That was a long time where people thought that, you know, he was on the side of the milk cart. No one could find the guy, at least not in these parts. And certainly he's been back for a couple of years now, and kind of reflects the way that Michigan State football has tried to have a renaissance. We've heard that term over and over, but finally, maybe there's one in progress.
Exactly. And it, you know, it kind of seemed like that to me today at the press conference. With the players and the way they handled it, I mean, I remember last year, you know, Trevor Anderson says that Michigan disrespected us and everyone hates Michigan. Rocco Cerrone says everyone has a hatred for Michigan. And this year, there wasn't much of that. And I'm thinking maybe that's a sign that, you know, the program has started to turn where it's not, you know, our backs are against the wall, it's us against the world. And now it's become a point where, you know, they're maybe expecting to beat Michigan, and you know, not the favorite in the eyes of Vegas, but I think the favorite, you know, for many people looking forward to this game.
Yeah, either that or they've learned what not to say. Michigan State historically has provided a lot more bulletin board material for the University of Michigan, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, D'Antonio usually, you know, keeps the guys in check pretty well, but I think he places so much emphasis on this game that at times in the past he maybe let his guys go a little bit and said, kind of, you know, guys, say whatever you want out there. Did you get that impression in years past?
Yeah, I did. I felt that it was okay to have a little bravado, and I always appreciate honesty. I think back more than a decade and quite a flap about that at press conference in Ann Arbor. But as I look at what these teams have, two very strong offenses, I don't think a lot of people have seen Michigan's defense yet, and special teams of Michigan State have been outstanding. But this game is in Ann Arbor, and they are a favorite. I guess right now the latest line, it's gone down from 5 points to 3.5.
That makes sense. I mean, you might even see it go a little bit lower than that. Usually, you know, from what I understand, the home team gets maybe 3 points, and so you can see that go down a little bit more. And I think, you know, that's something that just represents how close these two teams are. And like you said, we haven't really seen Michigan's defense. They were nowhere to be found against Indiana. I think Chapel held the ball for the majority of that game. So, you know, they're young in the secondary. They're pretty inexperienced back there. We just don't know a whole lot about them at this point, other than they give up a lot of yards through the air.
Well, everyone except the audio technicians today were asked about Denard Robinson. And I guess the guy who has really got an important role this week is freshman Tony Lippitt.
Right. He'll be taking over for scout team duties. He'll be emulating Denard during practice for the scout team this week. And it makes sense. He was a spread quarterback in high school and accounted for over 3,000 yards of total offense and 30 touchdowns his senior year at Crockett. So, you know, he's definitely capable to handle those duties. And, you know, you mentioned this to me earlier, but, you know, Keyshawn Martin could also be a guy, but they don't want to risk, you know, getting him hurt or asking any more of him than he already does. So I think Lippitt is the good, safe choice here.
Yeah, and I think Keyshawn Martin's going to have his hands full with a few other things this week, trying to figure out how they can burn the Michigan secondary. We saw what happened against Indiana when Ben Chappell threw for 480 yards. That was a record for Indiana, and still came up short. Had the ball nearly three times as long as Michigan, but Michigan didn't take very long when Denard Robinson's going to run 70 yards on a play.
Sure, and similar to the Indiana game last year at the Big House where Michigan won at the last second, and that was also right before the Michigan State game. They were undefeated at that point. So, you know, very similar from a year ago, but as we mentioned, the biggest difference would be Denard Robinson. I think he's going to be a little tougher to contain than Tate Forcier was last season.
Dan Kilbridge of SpartanTailgate.com, our guest on Ebling and You, and you can read Dan's commentary and watch his video reports three times this week. Dan, the mood on campus compared to what has been in other years, can you contrast that?
Yeah, I think there's more confidence, and it's not, you know, a cockiness, but I think it's just the attitude of, you know, Michigan State's no longer kind of held down by the fact that they can't win in the Big House. That was certainly the case for many years. You know, I think back to the 2002 debacle when they lost 49-3, and then you think back to the triple overtime game. But there's, you know, there's juniors here now attending this university. You've never seen Michigan State lose to Michigan. So there's upperclassmen that, you know, expect to win this game. And if they win another one, I think that attitude is, you know, going to continue and keep going here in the next few years.
No Michigan State coach has ever started 3-1 against Michigan. Not Big E Munn, not Duffy Doherty, not George Perlis, not Nick Saban. No one. And that's an opportunity now for Mark D'Antonio to do that.
Sure. He'll be doing it from the press box if it happens. It sounds like he's going to be right up with the coaches, maybe not ready yet to roam the sideline for 3 hours, but, you know, it's fitting because he came in here with the attitude that this is the most important game on the schedule. John L. Smith, I think, you know, understood the rivalry but didn't really embrace it. You know, he's kind of a wacky guy, obviously, and sort of, you know, treated it maybe not as the rivalry deserves, I guess. And D'Antonio's made this his focus from day one, and if he can get, you know, another one here, that would just do wonders, I think, in the fans' eyes, in the university, the students, just everyone. I think, you know, people would certainly feel like, if they haven't already, that Michigan State has got the right guy as its head coach.
It's been a very interesting series since Michigan State joined the Big Ten, Dan. In the 50s and 60s, Michigan State dominated. Then Bo Schembechler arrived. He won 17 out of 21, and Michigan really had its way for about 30 years with a couple of blips here and there. Michigan State would rise up and sting Michigan once in a while. But over the last 6 years, these games have been so close and so competitive. We've had three overtime games.
Yeah, last year, I mean, was just, like you said, another pattern of these games getting closer and closer, whereas, you know, before that wasn't the case. And that's just a sign, I think, of the program shifting a little bit here, one on the rise, one on the downfall, at least for the past couple of years. And that's just great to see, you know, for Spartan fans, not just the fact that they are beating Michigan, but the fact that, you know, this game is not going to be a blowout as it once was. You know, I remember the 2002 game, and I was watching with my grandpa, who was probably the most optimistic person I've ever met, the ultimate glasses half full kind of guy. And just the look of disappointment on his face, I'll never forget. Just he couldn't believe the effort. And I think, you know, you looking back, just how far they've come since that game really represents actually.
Yeah, that 2002 game, of course, was the one that cost Bobby Williams his job. Some would say that he wasn't going to have it for very long anyway, but it was a question in the press conference that Mickey York asked Fox Sports Detroit, and asked him a question about, do you feel you've lost your team? And he said, I don't know. And that was all I needed to hear. At least that's the Michigan State athletic director, Ron Mason, and members of the Board of Trustees. And that was pretty much was the end of the end for Bobby Williams. The beginning came sometime before that. But that was brought John L. Smith to East Lansing. And from the time Mark D'Antonio arrived, I don't know whether it was the fact that he was here before and was part of some wins with Nick Saban, was part of some very big victories over Michigan. I don't know whether it was his time at Ohio State, where he certainly had a disdain for Michigan, but he understood the rivalry from the day he got here, and he's made sure his players did too. Okay. Oh, are you there? Okay, I'm glad we got you back. I'm sorry. I wanted to see what your first memory of the series was, Dan, as you think back. Growing up here, what was the first time you remember watching a Michigan State-Michigan game?
You know, the first time I really remember, you know, vividly what happened is 95 when my childhood hero, Tony Banks, threw for over 300 yards and then hooked up with Nigea Carter in the end zone there. That's really, you know, I was with my dad at the time, and that's really the first memory I have of kind of understanding just what this rivalry means and how important it is to everyone in the state.
Yeah, that was the longest drive in Michigan State history. It was 103 yards of total offense on that last scoring drive because they got a 15-yard penalty after a first down and had to back up and gain that yardage all over again. So it was an amazing drive, and as you say, it was a very, very cold day,
right?
November, and snow on the ground, and kind of an eerie scene in Spartan Stadium, but they're not expecting that this week. They're talking about 70-plus degree temperatures in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, sunny skies and a Michigan spread offense. You know, this isn't the game it once was, even, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be of great interest to everyone in this state. And if you are not interested in this football game, then you can find something else to do on Saturday. But there's going to be tremendous buzz about this going throughout the week. I think there already is in many cases, but certainly leading up to the 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. And Dan, we'll be on Spartan Tailgate Friday with the game preview, and then live from the field Saturday after the game ends.
Sounds like a plan, Jack. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and you know, can't wait to deliver some post-game coverage and kind of dissect the latest installment here.
I should also mention, people ask me for my prediction. We always give it on Friday first on Spartan Tailgate, and then we give it here on Saturday on the Jack and Tom Show, but Dan Kilbridge's picks have been awesome this year. And nailing the score, he has been right on it every game. So you're going to want to pay attention to that as well.